Patreon, I know that you're ad-free, but we are just so excited about this that we had to share it with everyone. Recently, Amy and I, Caitlin, and a couple of our friends did a wine tasting, and we did 10 things everyone should know about wine.
And it was by Zoom.
Yes, it was all virtual. And we had it hosted by Couch and Cork, who we wanted to try it out, and it was so much fun that we asked them to work with us for a discount code for you guys. The way that it worked for us is we all brought our own wines. They sent us all these customized food and menu pairings and like things you can make to eat while we're having this class.
Yes.
It was not snobby at all. They are crazy educated.
They've been doing this for years. They're professionals. And they work with so many people.
And not only are they internationally certified, they're women-owned. They were so fun. Like, I really felt like I learned a ton.
Yes. So I learned two awesome things. So let me start off by letting you know that a few summers ago, I visited all of, or nearly all of, the Connecticut vineyards here and was, what I thought, educated really well about the wines that we had to offer here in Connecticut. But let me tell you, I learned so much more about wine, from the types of grape to the reasons for the shapes of the bottle.
Yes. And not for nothing, it, like I said, it wasn't snobby at all, but it was super approachable. And Caitlin found out tons about vegan wine.
Yes.
And it was just, for me, I thought it was super fun.
And you know what? The best part is these ladies will remain in touch with you and they're open to communication of all sorts after.
Yes, they are. And it's called the Friend of a Fam, which means you get access to their texting service.
One night, very shortly after our event, I opened a bottle of wine and it exploded. No lie. And I was like, I don't think that's right. And I don't feel like it's good wine to drink. I texted them, no lie. Within 15 minutes, they texted me back and gave me all the information on not just why it happened, but is it safe to drink?
Yes. And like, if you're shopping, you can text them, hey, I'm making this dinner. What wine should I buy? And they will respond with what to do. It is the coolest service I've ever heard. And it's woman-owned, and it's interactive, and I think everyone should do it with their friends. Because of that, we got a discount code. All right, you're going to go to couchandcork.com/DTRH. The code is DTRH, like down the rabbit holes. You get more than $50 off the 10 things everybody should know about wine tasting, and you can invite as many people as you want.
Yes, right from your own couch.
Yes. So, yes, Patreon, you're ad-free, and we are sorry, but we are so excited about this that everyone is hearing about it.
Absolutely. Check it out.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy, bringing us back in time again.
We all know Amy loves to bring us back in time.
Well, there's just so much information, and who doesn't want more information about a case, right?
It's so weird that there's so much information about a case that happened so long ago, because media wasn't what it is now, where everything's available immediately.
Yeah, I think you're right. It just makes me wonder, you know, how they did things back then. And even though their solve rate probably wasn't what it is today, sometimes I'm just like, how do they solve anything at all? Ever?
I agree.
And actually, now that I say that, I kind of wonder how many people went to prison
when they actually didn't commit a crime. That's a whole other conversation, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a bonus episode.
That is a bonus episode. Checking it right here on my piece of paper.
I love it. She's actually not. She's asking me to write that down.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. You know me.
All right, I'm ready. Let's dive in.
Okay. This case came across in a pretty traditional way. I just surfed through the Charlie Project, and I came across it, and it just immediately reeled me in. It takes place in New Orleans area, so there's just something for me personally about, I don't know, the South and things happening there. I don't know if it's like this romanticized idea about the South and New Orleans and it being just full of history and life and it's mysterious and all of that stuff. But I'd have to say that that was one of the first things that reeled me in. And then there was a case and I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff here. And I, you know, obviously have to share it with Melissa. And maybe get through the whole thing without telling her that this takes place in 1956.
It happens. Yeah, you know, I'm okay, though, because if you said there's a lot of information and it's, like, an interesting story, I'm all for it.
Well, perfect. I'm glad that you're in. And as I always say, it doesn't matter how much time passes. Some family somewhere is still missing their loved one. Without further ado, I'm going to tell you about Audrey Mote. Audrey was born on November 24th of 1925. Little, if anything, is known about Audrey's early life. Audrey married and had two children with George Mote Sr. And unfortunately, they amicably divorced after they had two children together. Audrey was active in scouting and she tended to her children and she was also employed. She was described in the Unsolved Mysteries episode that I watched by her daughter as just like way ahead of her time. She obviously was, you know, it was not a popular thing to do in the 50s to divorce someone, to go to the workforce, to raise your children as a single parent. But she did so anyway.
I was going to ask that when you said she was in the workforce. I was kind of surprised with the year.
Right. It just doesn't sound very typical. But nevertheless, I don't get the impression from any of the articles or the Unsolved Mysteries episode that she was shunned by any means from the community. She seemed to be liked and well-respected. So I don't know if the community in particular was leaps ahead of the rest of the world in their thoughts about divorce, or she was just that wonderful that people didn't look at it in that way. Nevertheless, what didn't come out until later is when Audrey went back to the workforce, she worked at some type of chemical or engineering company. She was a buyer at the company when she started, and eventually she met and befriended Thomas Hotard. Thomas was a married father and roughly 20 years older than Audrey. Thomas was also active in scouting, and Audrey and Thomas were often seen together in the community of La Paz, Louisiana. This is roughly around the New Orleans area. I believe it's west, so that's kind of where we're looking. At some point, the pair fell in love and carefully crafted plans to meet. Audrey lived with her mother and three children, and I know that I said two, and I will tell you about the three children later. And she would tell her mother that she needed to work on Saturdays. Thomas would tell his wife the same thing, and therefore they were able to spend every Saturday together over the course of 2 years. On November 24th of 1956, which is in fact Audrey's birthday, this was a Saturday and the scheduled day that Thomas and Audrey would meet. They met early in the morning for their day together. They drove together to an area known as kind of like a lover's lane. They parked there near Lake Pontchartrain, if I'm saying that correctly, and I apologize if I'm not. And they parked the car right on an area called Frenier Beach. In these old cars, if some of you remember, they're usually pretty large. But the front seat was all connected. So you could have like a third passenger essentially in the front seat with you between the passenger and between the driver. These old cars often had the ability to put the front seat where your back is all the way down. So essentially this would lay out kind of like a bed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So it's just this large flat area that you can lay down in. At some point that day, a hunter and his son came across the vehicle witnessing the couple. Perhaps they were intimate with one another. The seats appeared to be down. And they quickly moved on because I think they kind of realized what was going on. And this guy is with his son. And he's kind of like, just let's mind our own business and carry on.
Right.
The next morning, which was Sunday, the same hunter and his son passed the car again, parked in the same exact spot. Approaching the car, he noticed that the front passenger door was open. Upon further investigation, when he approached the car, he saw a man, the same man, laying in the front seat, and he was clearly dead from a gunshot wound.
What?
Yes.
Wait, this is a normal feed episode, right?
Yes. So there is a murder, clearly, I just told you, but there's also more to the story, so I'll move on.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Okay, awesome. So in the car, there was a picnic basket, things for sleeping, such as bedding, ID, cash, women's clothes were in the front passenger seat, and keys were in the ignition. All of the stuff left there, it was pretty easy to identify that this was Thomas Hotard. It was a quick, yes, this is him. We know it's him. As police investigated, they were able to determine that it, like I said, it was Thomas when police came. Outside the car, there was several items scattered about that you'd find in your purse. There were another set of car keys. There were bare, small footprints leading away from the car and a larger set of footprints in the same area, which looked like they came from the boots of a man. The footprints were followed all the way to a road where they stopped, which we can talk about if that means something. What does it mean? What happened? And it was determined that this was Audrey. So at this point, no one knows about an affair. And it's not, I guess it wouldn't be unusual if they were together. They were both involved in scouting. They both were friends. They were seen in the community together. Maybe the age difference threw people. They would never suspect anything like that. But, you know, they started investigating and were able to put the pieces together very fast. I mean, in Unsolved Mysteries, Audrey's daughter was interviewed, and she very vividly remembers knowing Thomas. I mean, he came around and to the house and things like that. She never had any inkling that there was anything ever going on between them. She's like, he was a friend, and that's all it was. So like I said, everyone's trying to piece together the story of what happened.
But they were potentially getting intimate.
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, the police are finding this through searching and investigating. And in this, some other big news comes to light when they're looking through Audrey's things. They found documents to point to the truth about Audrey's third child that I said that I'd come back to. So if you remember, Audrey and her ex-husband George had two children together. At some point, it has been reported that Audrey very briefly went to a mental institution, and this was roughly a year earlier. Her third child was about a year old. And when she returned from the mental institution, she stated to everyone that she had adopted a baby. And it appears as though everyone accepted that to be true. Well, these documents supported a different story. First, there were hospital records. Second, there was a birth certificate. There was documents that supported Audrey checking into the hospital, and she identified herself as Audrey Hotard. And the father's name on the birth certificate was Thomas's. Basically, what they were able to conclude most likely occurred was that she became pregnant with Thomas's child, went away under the guise of, I need to go to a mental institution. I'm going to come back with a baby and state that I've adopted this child, when in reality, it is actually Thomas's. So, days later, just Roughly a week later, on December 6th, Audrey's mother-in-law, excuse me, ex-mother-in-law, receives a phone call. And it really sounds to me that the divorce wasn't only amicable, but that with relatives it was amicable as well. So her mother-in-law picks up the phone, and on the other end, she hears a voice, and it says, said, "Mom, this is Audrey. I'm in very bad trouble, and I need help." Her ex-mother-in-law, Norma, says, "Where are you, Audrey?" And she kind of said, "Is this you?" And then she hung up the phone. Not Norma, but the caller that we think is Audrey hung up the phone. She believes this to be Audrey 100%. First of all, it sounded like Audrey. Secondly, the caller said "Mom." And this was what she was called by Audrey. Not Norma by her first name, or not Mrs. Moat or anything like that. It was "Mom." So she's convinced that on December 6th, she received a call from Audrey. The police were able to trace the call, and it came from the French Quarter. If you're not familiar, that is the heart of New Orleans, so not too far away. And they started asking around, had anyone seen her? We're trying to kind of figure out if we can definitely identify that this was Audrey. They went into Café du Monde.
Hey, I've been there.
Yes, a lot of people have. If you've ever been to New Orleans, you should go. It's a staple. You kind of have to do it. So if you have heard of it, it's no wonder. Everyone knows who's ever went to New Orleans.
It's beignets.
And they started talking to people in there. And what they were able to determine, to the best of their knowledge, was that a couple of people were able to identify Audrey based on her description and said that she was in that cafe the night before. She didn't look too well, but they felt confident that they were able to match that description to Audrey's description. And that was the last really anyone had seen of her in that area. On that same day, someone came forward and said that on December 6th, a woman had come to their house in an effort to use the phone, and she ended up being served a meal. And when she left, she was never seen again. That person came forward and believes by description that that was in fact Audrey. Other than these couple of sightings, there was no other sighting or evidence that Audrey was either dead or alive. But a couple of things did come to light. Now, before I go there, I just want to kind of go to Audrey's ex-husband, George, because I know you're all wondering about him because that is the first person that we look at, right? So George was spoken to by police. He was cooperative. He had restated our divorce was amicable, and he actually hadn't been at all in touch with Audrey since the divorce, which kind of leads me to believe that he probably wasn't active in the children's lives. That's an assumption on my part, but I don't know if it even makes a difference, but it just sounds like when they divorced, they completely severed all ties. But he had an alibi, and he essentially was written off as a person of interest or a suspect. The couple of things that came to light after Audrey's disappearance. Now, mind you, I just want to let you know that at this point, really the case goes cold. They get no more information, no more developments, no more sightings, like I said. It wasn't until about 2 years later, or 3 years later, roughly, that there was a murder in the community that was very similar to how Thomas had died. Essentially, this couple was shot through a window or shot at through a window of their car, very similar fashion. However, they both survived. And they were able to get the license plate of the car as he fled the scene, and they were able to arrest him. And upon investigation, they came across lots of pornography that this person had. They found lots of sex magazines, lipstick, purses,
ew,
things like that of women. Whether he got them from women or purchased them, I don't know. But it really had looked like this guy was sick, and perhaps he had done something with Audrey. Years later, a woman came forward and she stated that she believed her parents were responsible for the death of Audrey and the death of Thomas. She had stated that her parents were really kind of awful people. They were mean. They possessed guns. And if anyone so much as approached them with a simple question or a kindness, they would threaten to shoot them on their property. It just so happens that they lived very close to where Thomas was murdered and Audrey disappeared. She had stated that she learned from her father that her mother had actually killed Thomas and Audrey, and she was disposed of in an old Civil War cannon, and that was dropped into a swamp. Searches proved nothing of the sort. They couldn't find anything to corroborate that. What they did find at some point was what would have been an identical matching cannon that they could kind of test their theory with. And it seems to be that there would be no way that one or even two individuals would be able to maneuver or move that cannon. So how would they have possibly got that into a swamp? And essentially, at I don't even know how many years later, we're 70 years later or so, we're really not any closer to finding Audrey than we were in November of 1956.
Why are there so many weird things that happened?
I'm telling you, I mean, the idea of people coming forward years later and having information, an identical murder, and then we're not even wondering, like, is Audrey missing out there? I mean, of course we are, but we're uncertain if she's dead or alive, and if she died, when and how and who. Obviously the theories are really this: did Audrey kill Thomas on her own and flee, and she's just been out there living her life and has never returned? Which, interesting side note, is her mother, who believes Audrey's out there, eventually moved to Oregon, I believe it is, and she had released a statement to the newspaper stating what her address would be so that Audrey could read the paper and come find her someday.
What happened to Audrey and Thomas's daughter?
I don't know which children went where. I mean, Audrey's mother took care of the children for a period of time, but I read Thomas and Audrey's daughter was actually adopted by close relatives of the family. So she, for whatever reason, didn't stay with Audrey's mother. And I don't know what the two older children did, if they went with Jacqueline. I'm not sure, but we know that much.
Okay. Well, I would say that the only reason Audrey is going to kill Thomas is if he's threatening to take away her daughter. I don't see her killing him and then leaving her daughter behind.
And it's kind of hard for me to believe that she would leave any of her children behind.
Agreed. But I'm specifically meaning, like, Thomas would have a right to say, like, me and my wife are going to fight for this child.
Yes.
And I could see that evolving into an argument. But if she left the child behind...
Sure, but, you know, this guy has been having an affair for the last 2 years. It seems to me that they have this thing going on Saturdays. They feel pretty free to do what they want and please. I don't know if there was enough for that situation by either party for them to want that to change. I don't know. That's kind of dense, perhaps, because I suspect in affairs, usually at some point, one of the members of the couple is like, this isn't enough for me anymore. We need to be together.
Or, this isn't enough for me anymore. I'm done.
Yes. If it was him, I guess I would think that's messed up to do on her birthday.
Yeah, no, I don't think that Audrey killed him. So keep going.
I guess I don't have enough to support that either. So, if we've ruled out George, is it potentially Thomas's wife or maybe someone that she found to go and kill him? And maybe they had plans to kill her too and she got away, or maybe they did kill her and we just have not found the body.
I think that if they didn't kill her and she got away, that at that point she would say, like, hey, this is what happened.
So the only alternative to that is that she was killed or kidnapped.
And that's sort of where I would lead. I don't think she left her life because she left her kids behind.
And I don't think she left her life either because of someone. That would mean she killed Thomas, and we don't believe that. So it would be odd if someone killed him and then she was like, hey, this is a convenient time to leave my life.
No, and I think that, like, if she was willing to go to a mental institution or say she was going to one to hide a pregnancy and give birth, her kids are a priority to her.
Yes, because she could have went away and gave the baby up for adoption.
Or not had the baby.
Or not had a baby. Or she could have been pushed by Thomas not to give the baby up for adoption. Like, that's my child. You're not doing it. And she's like, well, I can't do this. Where am I going to, how am I going to explain this to people? But then I guess that would bring us back to a potential murder by her. But she's already had this baby for a year. Why now?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Nope, I don't think so.
I agree.
So what else we got?
I mean, that's kind of, that's it, really.
Well, what are the other theories? That she's kidnapped and either murdered or kidnapped?
Right, exactly.
And tell me about this woman that came forward and said her parents did it. What does law enforcement think of it?
There's not too much about her, but she doesn't even seem to like her parents too much. She just identifies them as awful people. And they were both very hostile to people in or around their property, which at this point on Frenier Beach, where the car was parked, it wasn't too far from that property. And she states that her dad said, oh, your mother committed that crime. And I helped her dispose of the body. Now, he says it happened, I believe, in the house. And they transported his body back to the car. And
that makes no sense.
Yeah. And then we put her body in an old Civil War cannon and dropped it in the swamp. I don't know.
Well, part of me wonders if the story they're telling their daughter is different than what actually happened, but it was still true they did it.
I guess I would say even the Civil War cannon part is untrue. So that they killed her and actually did something else with her body?
Well, I'm just saying, like, what if they killed him there? What if the wife had nothing to do with it?
And he's just...
like, he did it.
Because she died in, like, 1979. Don't quote me on that. But really within 20 years of that crime. So what I think happened is he said this and she couldn't defend herself.
Yeah, like, what if he shot Thomas there? Mm-hmm. He kidnapped her and maybe there was a sexual assault. Maybe there was who knows what. And he killed her later.
It's possible.
Well, let's break this down for a second. Where was their car at Frenier Beach?
Yes, it was.
And how populated is that area? Do we know?
I don't believe it's that populated because this area is known kind of as a lover's lane. And you go to places that are a little secluded for privacy. So, yeah, I'm assuming, but I don't have any other evidence to prove what this area was like in 1956 otherwise. There were hunters in the area, so it probably really is not so populated. Otherwise, people wouldn't be hunting there.
Okay, so it's either going to be someone looking for a victim or someone that... it's got to be someone looking for a victim, right? Because if you stumble across a car with people in it, you're not going to... their first response isn't going to be, hey, let's kill them.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like this guy for this. The one that the daughter came forward.
What about the other crime that is very similar?
Remind me of that again.
This man came across this couple, shot at them through a window with a gun. The man was wounded, but he survived. His wife survived. They were able to get the license plate as he was driving away. They were quickly able to identify him. They pulled him in for questioning and started investigating him. When they searched his home or whatever, they found a lot of disturbing things, lots of porn, yeah. Lots of purses. Maybe it was women's clothing. There were purses also. And he was given 2 lie detector tests, and he failed them both.
Well, if it was him, his motive is likely sexual assault. Kill the guy, take the woman.
Yes.
Well, Amy, now I'm stuck between the two of them.
I guess I would want to know more, and I have not found that. I would want to know more about the attempt with this couple after he shot the man? Did he think, I don't have a chance, and he ran away? I don't know if he attempted to chase the woman. I'm not sure. But that would tell me a lot about his motives, whether it was motivated by sexual assault.
Well, on this article, it says that once he shot the woman in the arm, he tried to get into the car.
I'm not sure. But this guy's disturbing. Do you still think that?
I don't know. No. I think I'm like 50-50 now.
Okay, what about the sightings? Do you think that she survived at least for a little while?
No.
So you think the sightings were false? What about the phone call to her mother-in-law?
I think that was a hoax.
You think it just so happens that she was called mom?
Yeah. If she was still alive, why didn't she go back for her kids or her family?
Well, she did say, Mom, I need help.
So she was kidnapped then. How long after that was...
If you believe the sightings or the phone call, then perhaps kidnapped.
I don't believe the sightings. How long after the phone call?
Roughly a week. It was on December 6th.
Okay, that I could maybe buy into if she had been kept alive by her kidnapper and was able to get to a phone. But likely that's what caused her demise, if that's what happened.
So she either died that day or very closely thereafter. She hasn't been living... kidnapped
somewhere. Think she
isn't. Okay.
What are your thoughts?
I unfortunately think that she probably died that night. I don't know why. I don't have the best idea of who.
Well, you're just a fountain of wealth, of knowledge.
I know, but I think that she got to the road, and it's not that she didn't die there or was like knocked unconscious or something, or, you know, pummeled by this man, most likely. It's just that we don't have footprints or a scuffle to tell us that story.
Right.
And I think that she was either taken and killed very shortly after, or literally she died in the road or somewhere close after.
And then what happened to her body?
Yeah, that's a good question, because if you just killed him and left him there, you would do the same to her.
Unless you were taking her somewhere to make her more of a victim. Yes.
Sadly, that seems to be the only thing that makes the most sense.
I agree. I think she was kept alive for a little longer.
That's horrifying.
Oh, it's really horrifying. But it's what I think happened, because I think it's kind of similar to the Diane Ogget case, where we say that we think she made a phone call back to whoever, and that's what caused her death, because she was trying to get help.
Oh, she was the case where they found her severed finger.
Yes.
Yeah. But they were able to trace the call. Well, I guess that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I think it's almost similar. Like, if she kept her alive for 2 weeks to assault her, which is terrible, and then she was able to escape to a phone and never was heard from again, I'm guessing that phone call is what caused her ultimate demise.
It very well could have.
And if that's the case, I think I have to lean toward not the parents of the girl, but the single guy who may have had more of a location and opportunity to have a woman in being held captive.
Well, I think what we can now agree on after talking that out is that if someone had no ulterior motives or whatever, they would have caught up to her, shot her and or killed her by some other method and left her there.
Exactly.
So I think we sort of have to assume that she was taken from that location. And we can talk about those other details, whether it was days, weeks, months, whatever, that she was eventually killed, but that she was taken for a reason.
Yeah.
And therefore, I guess I don't think that this could be someone from their life that is angry with them that found out about the affair.
I would agree with that 100%.
So I think it still leaves us with the same two suspects, or the main suspects, which is the couple who he says that his wife did it, or this really creepy, disgusting, awful person that attempted in the same fashion to kill another couple.
I think it's probably him. I'm like 70-30 him.
And he just owned the fact that he, well, because he was identified, that he attempted to kill the couple, but he lied about even knowing who Audrey and Thomas were.
He may not know who she is. She may just be a victim.
Yeah. I mean, that makes the most sense rather than the couple who this guy makes up this really crazy story about them dying in the house, and then they brought the guy back to the car, put her in a cannon. What?
Yeah, that makes no sense. Why would you lug him? Yeah, no.
I don't know why you'd make up that story, though. That's a whole other issue.
And then you have to assume the car is still there and no one has discovered it. There's a lot about that makes no sense.
So we're looking at this guy, and I will tell you that he died in the early 2000s, so... As you'd suspect, I mean, the story took place in 56. We're never going to get it from him. We're never going to get the, where is she? Please open up and tell us.
Right. Unless he told someone.
Oh, I mean, it's possible. People do that. Then I would hope that soon, because they're probably aging themselves, they would come forward.
I hope so, too.
I'm certain, because Audrey would be in her 90s, that her mother has passed on. But she still does have children that would want to know what happened to their mother. Why didn't she come home that Saturday of her birthday?
100%. And I'm sure her kids would want to know that.
And unfortunately, we lost someone else in this too. You know, Thomas, he was a father himself. And yes, we know what happened to him. That's awful. But we don't know why or who. So that deserves justice too.
Right. And if it was like his wife about the affair... Audrey would have been killed too.
And you wouldn't go so far as to easily kill him and leave him there and then take her?
Right, no.
You would kill her in a crime of passion in that moment.
Yes, I agree with that 100%.
So I think we both kind of mostly land on this creepy guy.
Yep, yeah, I agree.
And a slight maybe for the couple.
It's getting smaller and smaller by the minute.
I agree with you. I don't even know. I don't want to talk this too much out more, but I don't even know if these two people would be resourceful enough to hide a body this well.
I was going to say, if it's the couple, they're like the Ken and Barbie killers, where they like kidnap women and he assaults them and they torture. I don't understand it.
Yeah. So I think I'm with you and very similar in that. It gets smaller and smaller, that chance, by the moment. So I'm going to open it up. I want to know what you guys think. I want to know if you have an alternate theory. We spent virtually no time on, because we very quickly just couldn't make sense of her leaving her life. But if you are like, yeah, that's definitely a possibility, let us know. I'd be very interested.
Yes, I would be too. And I'd like to know, what train of thought would take you in that direction?
Yeah. All right.
We'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.